Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Welcome to the show on a Friday, June 22nd. We're the Junkies live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. EMP180weightloss.com. Good morning. I am Cakes. You can follow me on Twitter at MoneyMetalCakes. Joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Hello, sir.
Ricky.
We consulted each other and wore the same exact Caps Stanley Cup champions hat.
You know what? It's just that time of year, man. Going to bask in it for a while.
I think you have to.
Right?
And joined by Jason Bishop.
Happy Friday, boys.
Happy Friday. He's already downing a five-hour energy.
A little bit.
Get a little
half
boost.
One. 2.5 hour.
Through the show. Lots to get to on today's show. We will talk some World Cup. We will talk NBA draft. We'll talk some baseball with Steve Phillips, former GM of the Mets. We'll talk movies with Kevin. At 7 a.m., John Feinstein joins us, as he always does on a Friday at 8. And Chase Hughes, who covers the Wiz for NBC Sports Washington, will join us at 9 a.m. to help us break down the NBA draft, and more specifically, the Wizards' pick in said draft in the first round. Welcome, Troy Brown Jr., to your Washington Wizards.
How much of the draft did you guys watch?
The whole first round.
Yeah.
I watched till about pick 21 or 22, like right after Herter went to the Hawks. Yeah. He went 19th.
Congrats to Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
So cool, huh?
A guy who
going
just wanted
higher than I thought he would go.
Just wanted to test the waters at first. Then he had a ridiculous appearance. Was it at the Chicago camp or the combine?
I was thinking of Chicago.
And
Chicago,
it really, really upped his stock. So, I mean, he turned himself into a first rounder. So, props to him.
And you know, the Hawks had, I think the Hawks had three first rounders. The Hawks took, well, they got the trade with Trae Young. Right?
Yep.
And
correct.
Then they took Herter at 19. And at the bottom, they took Spellman from Villanova. They got three shooters. Because Spellman could step out and knock it.
Right. They very
the,
cool.
Yeah, it's nice job. Nice
I
job
tell
by
you,
the Hawks.
So, you know, at the top of the draft, DeAndre Ayton is, man, he is going to be a beast.
He's a beast. Yeah, he's big. Big
just,
dude.
You know, I didn't watch him play much. I didn't watch much of Arizona. And just watching those these big men, are, and there were a lot of them in this draft. They're so skilled, it's ridiculous. Just the spin moves and the post moves.
Athletic.
I don't think that there's going to be a back-to-the-basket movement again, but
no,
they're capable of doing it all. They can do that, and of course they could step outside and hit big shots.
See, my problem last night, I was letting myself dream the impossible dream that Michael Porter Jr. would
almost
fall all the way to 15.
He almost did.
But I knew that as soon as he fell to 14, that the Nuggets were going to just look at what was happening and say,
How
can we not pick this guy despite all of the medical red flags?
You saw David Aldridge reported that the Wizards weren't going to take him even if he was there.
Oh, I didn't see that. I missed that.
Yeah, he said the Wizards weren't going to
so
take him.
So they were scared of the...
Didn't say why. I assume it's the medicals.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of teams that were.
So I'll be honest, I don't know much about Troy Brown.
I watched 7 or 8 teams.
I watched his highlights last night. And look, I don't think he's going to be a star, but he's obviously got amazing anticipation on defense. He's got a big body.
He long can
score,
wingspan.
He could score inside. Uses his body really, really well.
He's just raw. He's young.
He's
18.
He's not a freak athlete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
But he's a guy that uses his body well. He's got great anticipation on defense. And if you listen to the quotes from Scotty Brooks, do you have any of those? Brooks, he talks about how his versatility, and I think a lot of it has to do with defense.
Yeah, we're excited about him. He does a lot of good things on the court. Good size, IQ, and the way the league is going, you have to be able to guard multiple players in our positions. And he can do that, and he can play on the offensive end just as well. He has a good knack for the game. And the crazy thing about it, he's 18 years old, and he already has a good feel for the game. So with that being said, I'm excited about working with him. We met him in Chicago, and I met him here.
Saw him work out here. Saw him work on in the film. And looking forward to what he brings to our team. And my staff is excited about working with him soon.
Part of it could be the fact that, you know, Oubre is a free agent after next season. I mean, that could be insurance for Oubre
to fill that spot. Yeah.
If he leaves, we don't know at this point.
But again, you know, he's young. He played 1 year. He averaged 10 or 11 a game. He's not a great shooter, three-point shooter.
He needs to work on his shooting.
He's got to work on his shooting. But, you know, he's got long wingspan. He's athletic. He can guard.
But if you watch his shooting, if you watch his three-point shot, technique is fine. He's just going to have to rep it out.
He's still learning.
Here's the thing. I think it's a safe. I've come to this conclusion, and you can play this when I'm wrong in a year. He's not going to be a star, I don't think, but I think it's a pretty safe pick. Like, I think he'll have a competent, you know, NBA career for 8 or 10 years. But I don't think he's going to be a star. But I don't think he's going to bust either, because I think he can do a lot of things. That would be my prediction on Troy Brown. Now, I personally would have liked to seen him get an athletic big, but, you know, there aren't that many available at that time.
Robert Williams goes 27.
Yeah, Robert Williams,
he slid a long way.
Why?
I don't know.
He was projected to go 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I was hoping they would take snatch my guy up, Dante, who went 2 picks later to Milwaukee.
DiVincenzo?
Yeah.
I think they like.
I think Dante will be a better player, but that's just my opinion.
I think Dante will be a better offensive player, but I think they wanted somebody versatile who can play D.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and he's got a great body, Brown, and he's still kind of soft looking too. Like,
he's got to get stronger. Yeah.
You can tell he's got the frame if he really gets after it.
The thing you
got
to remember is he's 18 years old.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, he's just so young.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, so Ayton goes to the big guy out of Arizona goes 1. To Phoenix, Bagley goes 2 to Sacramento, and then there was a trade there, 3 and 5 between Dallas and Atlanta. So it ends up being Dallas taking Luka Doncic out of Slovenia, and then Jaren Jackson Jr. goes 4 to Memphis, and then, of course, Trae Young goes 5, and he'll play for the Hawks. So those are your top 5 there. The Cavs took Colin Sexton out of Alabama. Very explosive player.
There was a big cheer for him when they announced his name. I didn't quite understand why. What was I missing? I mean, when they picked him, there was a big cheer.
Yeah, they like him.
Yeah.
Grayson
where
Allen.
Was that? Where was that draft held last night? I didn't even know.
Brooklyn.
It was in Brooklyn?
I felt bad for Mikhail Bridges, who got drafted 10th overall. And his 10th overall by the Sixers.
Yeah.
And his mom works in HR for the Sixers and the Devils. And they were celebrating, having a good time. She was getting interviewed right alongside him. And then 20 minutes later, he's traded to Suns.
Yeah. He said he didn't even know. He said they didn't even tell him.
Yeah.
He didn't know until they announced it.
It didn't happen until later, because a lot of these trades, you know.
He thought he was going to stay home, play in Philly.
Yeah.
A lot of them are contingencies.
And then he's going out to Phoenix. Grayson Allen goes in the first round, late 21, higher than I thought he would go.
I have to say,
to the Jazz,
he came off pretty likable too in his interview. You know, for having such a controversial career and, you know, all the incidents he's had. When Donovan Mitchell came over to him and they kind of hugged the live on air, and you could just see how Grayson Allen was so happy. Mm-hmm. Said all the right things. Look, I know he's been as big a punk as anybody in college basketball for the last 4 years on the court, but I just get the sense that a lot of that just stems from just being an uber competitor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then he got better.
A little bit better with it.
Yeah, I mean, junior was a disaster, but he got better. He got more mature.
They showed his pre-draft workout stuff where he's just stroking threes. Oh, my God. The guy's a machine. It's like you and I shooting layups.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous how good of a shooter
he is. Our boy Mo Wagner goes to the Lakers. At 25, we talked about him yesterday. We had a phone, I don't know, we had a Michigan fan call up about Mo Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
I think Landry Shamet's going to be really good. The Sixers took him at 26 out of Wichita. I remember seeing him as a freshman. I think he's a really good player. Long, lanky point guard. So, I don't know. There's some interesting things happening there. Zaire Smith, who was a potential pick for the Wizards, goes to – who picked him? Did he go to Phoenix? He went to Phoenix at 16. Could be wrong on that.
Philly. Yeah. Zaire Smith?
And he got traded.
He got drafted by Phoenix, traded.
That's Phoenix, and then he got traded, right. Interesting. Kevin Knox goes to the Knicks at 9.
There's a lot of booing going on there.
I think he's a good player.
I mean, he's 6'9". He can step out and stroke it.
I was a little.
I mean, that's the new NBA.
I was a little surprised that they didn't take Porter, because there was some talk that they wanted to trade up and get him, but you know, they got scared away too.
Where did the Anthony Simmons kid go? Did he get
Blazers?
Late first round, yeah.
24th overall.
Wow.
Out of the IMG Academy.
Yeah. Worked out for him.
I didn't think he would go first round, but he did, 24.
I give props to Justin Jackson. I mean, selected in the second round, there's no guarantees. You're going to have to work for it. But he did get selected in the 43rd pick. You know, not that far out of the first round by Brooklyn. So he's got a chance.
He got drafted by Denver and then traded to Orlando.
Yeah, you never know. Get better, make a squad.
Why do I have him on Brooklyn here?
Maybe he got traded from Orlando to Brooklyn. Since I'm looking at this page, I don't know.
I have him drafted
by Denver and then traded to the Magic.
Yeah. Well, for whatever reason, I have who owns the 43rd pick?
I mean, the Clippers.
The Clippers. Yeah. So it says Brooklyn. Somehow, Cakes, he ended up on Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Look right here. I mean, unless this is wrong.
The Denver logo right next to 43 says Justin Jackson, Maryland, traded to the Orlando Magic.
Yeah. Maybe there was another trade. Because I had it right here on Brooklyn.
Yeah, maybe there was.
And then who do you have at 44 for the Wiz?
I've got Yusuf Sanan.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Ukraine. From the Ukraine, Cakesy.
Point guard.
So they weren't able to get rid of Gortat, right?
Gortat's still on the roster.
Yeah, not yet.
Love to get rid of that dude. He's just a pain in the ass.
See who else went in the second round. Brunson goes at 33.
I think he's going to be a good pro.
Something like that.
Devontae Graham from Kansas went 34. I think the Hawks got him. And then who else? Gary Trent Jr. went 37. So, you know, he decided just to play 1 year at Duke, and he goes in the second round. I think to the Kings. So some of these guys, man, they elected to just punt their college careers.
They just want
to
get the clock running on the pro career.
They just wanted to go, make some money, and hopefully make a team sometime during the year, even if it's through the G League.
Eric, are you bummed out that LiAngelo wasn't drafted?
No.
Oh, please.
grasping at that.
No. I mean, who would be grasping at that?
No. I mean, because, I can't claim to say I've seen a lot of – I've only seen YouTube clips of LiAngelo.
clips, and you saw him play
And you weren't that impressed.
In Lithuania.
Well, and he was playing in the back end of blowouts for UCLA, it looked like. And he just looked like a chubby kid that could shoot threes. I don't know.
In an ugly shot.
Yeah, I don't think there's a big market for those guys in the NBA in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole ball thing kind of died down, thank God.
It has died down, although there's been a lot of focus on his wife. Who had the stroke, Tina.
Oh, the ball's mom? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's basically like a mute. She can't really talk. And the bizarre thing is, if you read the stories, he like grills her. He's like, come on, girl, what you doing? Keep up. She had a freaking stroke.
I wish that would happen to the dad.
She had a massive stroke, and he's grilling her. It's crazy.
All right, so Troy Brown goes to the Wiz, 6'7". He's out of Las Vegas, went to Centennial High School.
I'm just going to guess that the fan base is very meh on the pick.
Probably.
Well, let's be honest. How much of Oregon?
Yeah, how much Oregon basketball does this area watch?
Nobody. And how much sizzle can you have with anybody at 15? Unless it was Porter. If they were able to get Porter, even though it sounds like they weren't interested in picking him anyway.
Well, if they would have taken Dante... A lot of people saw Dante play.
Or people if you picked Grayson Allen.
Or Grayson Allen, yeah. I mean, that would have probably been too high.
There are guys that people have seen.
But, you know, especially with Villanova and with their run, a lot of people probably would have been happy with that. But, you know, who knows? These guys, they scout these guys for months.
Yep.
And they decided that he was the best guy.
I'm officially neutral on it. If they were going to go, initially my thought was, well, if you're going to go with 6'7" guard, why not just draft Herter, who was the biggest mover in the draft, who went 4 picks later? But I don't think Herter has that defensive upside.
No, he's more of a one-trick pony.
Yeah. But his trick's pretty good.
Oh, it's a
might
high,
be the most valuable attribute.
It's a high desired trick. Yeah. If you're going to have one trick in the NBA in 2018, right. I'll be able to stroke it from 25 feet.
I mean, it's an amazing run that he had.
It absolutely is. It was nice to see Turge with him up there in Albany during the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrate with him.
I didn't even notice that.
Yep.
I'm rooting for him. I'm going to try and get him on the show.
I thought it was cool. Grayson Allen was one of those guys. Also, was sitting out in the stands. He wasn't, you know, wasn't invited into the green
room. Oh, he was amongst the people?
Yeah.
He pulled a Gravis?
Yep.
Yeah, he was pondering whether or not he was even going to go to the draft.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said it was the best thing he ever did.
He said it was the best thing he ever did. He said he's been watching the NBA draft since he was a kid. And
wanted to walk that stage. Yep.
Just a bulletin that we're all getting old. We've seen Vasquez's entire NBA career unfold in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
His whole college and NBA
and
career.
He had a pretty good one, too. He had like an 8-year career.
He had a very good NBA career.
You didn't have to remind me that I was
getting old. I'm just letting you know. Just letting you know that's happening.
I feel it every day.
Don't forget, Kevin McCarthy's going to join us at 7. John Feinstein at 8. Chase Hughes will join us at 9 to talk more Wizards. But when we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Phillips, former GM of the Mets. Talk some baseball and the Nats next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Remember, you can join the Junks and 106.7 The Fan for our summer dress party. The date is Saturday, July 14th at Whitlow's on Wilson. It all gets started at 4 p.m. Whitlow's on Wilson, where it's good times with good friends. Get all the details online at thefandc.com/summer. So we hope to see you there for all of the fun of that event that we do every single summer. Right now, we're happy to be joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Steve Phillips, former GM of the Mets. Steve hosts the leadoff spot every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM's MLB Network radio channel. Steve, thanks for joining us so early. We appreciate that.
Steve gets up early every day us. You get up early.
That's right. That's right. I'm up early anyway, so happy to jump on with you guys.
Do you like waking up early, or you do it because it's part of the gig?
No, I don't. If I didn't have this morning show from 7 to 10 a.m. on MLB Network Radio and SiriusXM, I would probably still be getting up early. Now, probably not at 4:45, but I would be getting up early.
Okay.
So, no, I'm more of a morning person for sure.
How far is your commute into work?
My commute is a pretty significant one. I go from the bedroom to the side porch.
Oh, you're so lucky.
And so, yeah. So, I mean, you know, traffic can be tough sometimes, but I got to tell you, I am blessed because I had worked on Mad Dog Radio, and I had a 6 to 10 a.m. show, and I was going into the city every day. So I was up at 3:30, on the road at 4, there at 5, and on the air at 6 every day. And we were talking all sports, so we'd be breaking down the NBA draft today on that show.
So that's what we'll be doing.
When they came to me and said, hey, what'd you think? You know, if you want to stay on Mad Dog Radio, you can do it, but we'd love to have you move over to MLB Network Radio. And they said, it's 7 to 10 instead of 6 to 10. You can do it from home. I'm like, you know, I don't know. Let me think about that. Okay, deal.
Sounds great.
Much happier.
Yeah, we haven't worked that deal out yet. I would love to go from my
contract's bed. Contract's up, though. It's a good thought.
Can't broadcast in my pajamas yet, like Phillips.
I would love
to
go from my bedroom to the basement every morning.
But you know what? The show's name is The Leadoff Spot, and that's appropriate because we want to talk about Bryce, and they put Bryce back in the leadoff spot here just to try to change things up a little bit. To be honest with you, I kind of like it.
Well, I like trying to change it up. I think that that's important. That, you know, so much of this game is mental. And I think for Harper right now, much of his struggles are mental. Now, he's got some physical challenges with his mechanics at the plate, too. He's opening up, flying off the ball, pulling off. But I think a lot of it is stemming from what's going on in his head. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens in baseball that I don't think people always understand. You know, hitters have good swings when their timing's right or when their thinking's right. But when they start to overthink or they start to anticipate certain pitches or teams start to bust you in, you start to cheat a little bit and open up inside, and you think, I need to hit some more home runs, it changes the thinking, the mechanics that hitters have. So the idea of just trying to get a different feel is a great idea. I love moving guys around. At some point, you know, if a guy continues to struggle, stepping away for a day or two is worth doing as well. Now, that's not a thing that Bryce Harper would be in favor of. I mean, he likes to grind it out. He likes to play. He doesn't want to, you know, he thinks it's giving in by sitting down. Sometimes, you know, the hardest work you can do is actually taking a day off when you're struggling like this But certainly a better day yesterday for him, and got on base a number of times and a big part of the offense for a change.
When he's going well, are the mechanics better? The reason why I ask you is a guy hit me up yesterday on Twitter. He said, listen, I'm no expert, but I did play double-A baseball, and I can tell you that even when he's going well, his mechanics are kind of screwed up. He just gets away with it because he's a freak athlete and the timing's right, et cetera. Does he basically have poor mechanics?
Well, you know, he's got a bit of a different approach where he's a more linear swing, and a lot other, you know, many other guys look at him more rotational. Now, the other thing about Harper is, you know, and the thing that concerns me about a long-term contract for him is the violence in his swing. Like whose body can handle making, you know, thousands and like, think about all of the, forget the games. Think about all of the batting practice he takes. When he's struggling, the extra batting practice he takes, his dad's throwing to him, the coaching staff throwing to him. The violence of every swing is going to take a toll at some point. Now, he's still a young guy. But his mechanics aren't awful. They're just a little bit different. But he can be prone, because of the way he does it, to pull off the outer third of the plate. And I think that's where he's had some difficulties this year. He can't really reach that ball because part of his first move is for that front hip to start to go first.
How much of his struggles also have to do with the shift that they're employing like 50% of the time against him now?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you know, and I think MLB Network did a great breakdown on this, but even the percentages of balls, though, that he's hitting the other way, he's kind of abandoned that. And instead of trying to hit it through the shift, he's trying to hit it over the shift. And I think that you know, he's gotten away a little bit from staying inside the baseball, going to left center field with it. And, you know, many of the great hitters, when they're not right, it's because they are trying to pull the ball and they are trying to hit home runs. And the way to get them right again, like I had Mike Piazza, you know, one of the best slugging catchers ever. And when he was at his best, wasn't when he was pulling home runs over the left field wall. It's when he's hitting doubles to the right center field gap as a right-handed hitter. Now for Harper, you know, driving some balls out to left center field will get him stay on the ball more to keep that front hip closed and allow him to look at the ball a little bit longer and swing through the ball, instead of kind of getting in the zone and out of the zone as much as he is right now.
Mm. Now, as you mentioned last night, he did have a couple of walks early. Gossman walked him twice, and then he had that big double in the eighth to set up the game-winning runs. So he had a better night last night, but you mentioned how sometimes he opens up his right side and he just kind of pulls off. It seems like when he gets into that rut, he does that a lot. Now, he's been in the league 7 years, and he's still doing that. And I know he's had a couple different hitting coaches, but you would think now in his seventh year, you know, that kind of would have been corrected, that bad habit.
Yeah, I get that sort of perspective on it, right? You think, oh, you know, if that's what you're doing, then stop doing it. But that's kind of the nature of hitting, that everybody does certain things on a checklist. When they're right, this is what they do. And when they're wrong, there are certain things that kind of creep in based upon their build, their mechanic, the way they're wired and all of that. So I think for most hitters, the story's the same, that when something's not going right, it's usually this that's causing them to go wrong. The other thing for Harper that's, I think, a real challenge for him is he doesn't really know when they're pitching to him and when they're pitching around him. So he gets caught in between of, should I be aggressive or should I be patient? And it goes back to that series with the Cubs a couple years ago. They walked him, whatever, 13 times in the series. And from that point on, right, he was kind of messed up because he's like, oh, wait, so they're not going to try to pitch to me, so I should be patient. Then he takes a pitch down the middle. He goes, oh, now I got to be aggressive. Then he starts to get aggressive, and they bounce the ball in the dirt, and he's thinking, I'm 0-2. Like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's had, you know, Barry Bonds had to you know, handle that a bit, right, to think that they were always pitching around him. Look at his walk numbers went way up. The thing about Bonds is that he had that sort of patience to just wait it out, to say, okay, I don't care what you're doing. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till you throw it in the zone. If you throw it out of the zone, I'm going to take it. But if you throw it in the zone, I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to do some damage. And I think for Bryce, he gets caught up a lot in, what are they trying to do to me, instead of, this is what I do. And I think it muddies his mind a little bit. And that leads to some mechanical flaws of trying to get a little anxious and over-aggressive.
Talking to Steve Phillips, former GM of the Mets. He hosts the leadoff spot every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. on Sirius XM. So that was my next question. Do you think that Bryce goes to every single at bat and thinks, all right, they're going to pitch around me?
I think he's caught into, okay, wait, they're going to pitch around me. And then that other voice creeps in because, you know, the movie Bull Durham, you ever see the movie Bull Durham where Kevin Costner's in the batter's box and he's kind of talking to himself and all of a sudden other voices, you know, another thought creeps in. That's really what happens with hitters is that you get these voices, you know, it's your own voice kind of talking to you saying, okay, this is a, be ready for that fastball. And then he's getting ready for it. And then he says, yeah, but what if they throw the breaking ball right here in his mind? And then he's like, okay, well, wait a minute. Then I better kind of be in between. And you can't hit in between. You can't hit, you know, between the fastball and breaking ball. That means you're going to be late on the fastball, still out in front of the breaking ball, and you don't hit either that way. And so I just think that it's the nature of this game and to get people to understand the mental part of it. And for Harper in a free agent year, with all kinds of pressure on him to deliver, to have to advance in the playoffs this year, you know, this could be his last year in D.C., and so the window's closing there maybe in some ways, although I think it'll linger well beyond Harper with the job Mike Rizzo's done there. But I just think there's a lot going on, right? Everybody wants a piece of him. He doesn't look like he's having fun. I mean, that's the part of it, right? He looks like he's in agony sometimes, and even when everybody else kind of celebrates, he's just kind of sits there just like he's in excruciating pain. Like, and I can relate to that from my own playing days, and even as being a general manager, you know, when something goes right, you know that it's just a matter of time before something goes wrong in this game. When you fail 7 out of 10 times and you're good, and he's failing almost 8 out of 10 times right now. And that amount of failure for a guy who has a high expectation for himself can create excruciating pain in the way that you think about yourself and the way that you consider yourself and how much pressure you put on. So, you know, I see him suffering in a lot of ways that it's kind of hard to watch sometimes.
Steve, you bring up pressure. We know he's being pressured by MLB officials to participate in the Home Run Derby in his home park in less than a month here at Nats Park. Do you think that would be a terrible idea for him to go up there and just hack away? Or do you think, you know what, it's just an exhibition, not a big deal? Where do you fall on
that?
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. It could go both ways, right? I mean, it might be fun for him, which I think he needs a little bit of. And I think he could put on a show where he could feel some of the love and maybe start to feel a little bit better about things. On the other side of it, you know, for a guy who's prone to pulling off the ball and opening up trying to hit home runs, you know, it may compound some part of the struggle. So my position as a general manager was always love the Home Run Derby, love the Stars participating in it. I prefer your Stars participating in it more than my Stars participating in it. But I would never tell my guy not to do it. But if he was uncertain, I would be happy to be the tiebreaker for him to get him to say no. Now, for Harper, it sure feels like it's the right thing to do for him to participate in the Home Run Derby. Like, we've been waiting for this to happen. Like, you know, when he didn't do it last year, we thought, all right, well, this is the year he'll do it. It makes all the sense in the world. So I'd still be inclined to have him do it, hope he'll do it. But if he didn't do it, I would at least understand why.
Right. Let's talk about Juan Soto a little bit, because this guy's just been a revelation. I mean, certainly Nats fans had heard about him, heard the legend of him, but we didn't think that after 2 weeks in Double A or whatever, he'd come up and, you know, just be on a tear like this. What are you seeing from him sort of mechanically? And then my second question is, do you think his just sort of ability to take off and take the league by storm has gotten in Bryce's head a little bit? Like, oh, my God, I'm struggling.
Yeah,
here's this kid. Now
point.
He's taking a little of my shine.
Yeah, I think excellent point. I mean, Soto, what he's doing doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, no, you know, nobody does this. 19-year-olds can't do this. And yet he's doing it. Which tells you how special and unique it is. And he is. Like, the double he hit yesterday into the left center field gap, it's not only the double, it's the celebration part of it. Like, he seems so comfortable to just be himself as a major leaguer, like he would have done if he were in Double A, hitting a double in the gap, where he'd celebrate, braid. I saw him flip a bat earlier, and nobody made a big deal about it, but I'm thinking, man, he's really comfortable, and there's nothing about him that feels tentative about being a boy playing with men, because that's really what he is right now. He's a boy playing with men. Now, he's playing like a man, and so he's locked in. I love his approach at the plate. I mean, you know, one of the things I loved most about him was that it was the second or third game that he got into, and he walked 3 times. because young guys get to the big leagues and they want to prove they can hit by swinging. And what they don't understand sometimes is the way that you prove that you can hit is by taking a walk and showing the patience of having a quality at bat. And for at 19 years old to have that level of a presence mm-hmm. is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And to the other point, I've thought the same thing. Like, this has got to be hard on Harper, where, you know, people are wondering about what his future is. And if he's not in D.C., what's it going to look like? And we're kind of looking at it going, all right, it looks pretty good. We'll be okay. And so, yeah, I think there's got to be some part of it that he feels like he's got to try to outdo somebody else. That could be also playing into all of the sort of over-trying sometimes that it looks like he's putting in place in his at-bats.
Steve, real quick, before we let you go, I just wanted to move off the Nats here for a second. And I heard you and Chris Russo arguing about Trout the other day. And I'm guilty of it too. I can't tell you how many times on this show we've compared Jordan to LeBron and, you know, argued about eras and, you know, who's the greatest player and all that jazz. But, and you guys were arguing about Mike Trout versus the greats of the game, DiMaggio's and Mantles and Mays and all those guys. It's so hard. I don't know why people do it. It's so hard to compare eras. Mike Trout is by far the best player in the game, and he's going to win multiple. He's going to win more than, you know, three or four MVPs in his career. He's probably going to win another one this year, which would be number three. I just think it's so hard to compare guys who are playing now to guys who are playing in the 40s and 50s. I don't know why we get caught up in it. I don't.
Yeah. No, it was. It's my listen. I do that on a weekly basis with Russo. I get some extra money for that because it's he shoots me out. So he is actually, they don't give me any money for it. I actually kind of like doing it. It goes back to my days when Mike and the Mad Dog in New York, when Russo was with Mike Francesa, I'd do interviews with them. They'd ask me a question when I was Mets general manager. They'd answer the question, move on to the next question before I even said a word. And so it's like vintage Russo. But you're right. And what ends up happening is when you take one side, you feel like you're diminishing the accomplishments of the other, right? That the other guy's not any good at all. And, you know, he was comparing Joe DiMaggio and saying, well, DiMaggio only struck out this many times and that many times. But the game has changed so dramatically in the way that we play. We've got guys, everybody throws 100 miles per hour right now. When Joe DiMaggio played, the starter finished the game.
Right.
Even if he gave up seven runs. And so DiMaggio had a chance to face the same pitcher,
four
and five times in a game. Yep. And that's much different than the game today where, you know, guys like Trout are, you're seeing a situational guy come in, a sidearm right-hander, you know, you're the submariner, you're seeing the power fastball, you're seeing the big breaking ball. And so it's just a different game today. What I know is this. DiMaggio was the best player in the game at one time. Willie Mays, the best player in the game at one time. And Mike Trout is the best player in the game today.
Steve, yeah, we loved having you. We kept you too long. You have to do your own show in like 22 minutes, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Go get a cup of coffee.
We'll be okay.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys. All right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Steve Phillips, former GM of the Mets. He hosts the leadoff spot every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m., on SiriusXM's MLB Network radio.
I'm
going to
say he's as good a baseball guest as we've had.
Really good.
He's right up there with Kirchin.
Yeah, he's excellent.
I mean, really good.
Yeah,
he's fun to listen to. Great insights. Got energy. That guest is a home run. I know he's been on before, but he is good.
Yeah.
Plus, he gets to do a show in his living room in his slippers, probably eating like a Western omelet.
Right.
Just has a great setup.
Drabby, good pull.
Good for him.
He did something right this week.
Yeah. Well, one for 20.
You know what? He did that right, and he picks soccer winners all the time. I mean, I bow down to him.
Hey,
I should have faded Awad's pick yesterday.
Hold on. Why did they get all the shine? I had France yesterday.
Okay. Did you do that yourself? That was your own pick?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I give you props, too.
Richie, you just never asked me.
Yeah, but Drab
listened to you, not to Awad, because he told me to bet the over, and they scored one goal.
But Drab picked a draw that paid out 2.5 to 1, and he picked Croatia to beat Argentina, which paid out 3 to 1.
Soccer Drab.
I didn't hear him pick Croatia, but good job.
Remember, he
did.
Talked about how slow Argentina was. No, he had inside sources.
I picked a draw.
You did pick the draw.
I didn't pick Croatia, but I did say that Argentina was butt slow, and they looked butt slow yesterday.
That's true.
Are they done? Are they already eliminated?
No.
No, but they need some help.
They need some help
getting through. Don't forget, Kevin McCarthy joins us in just about 20 minutes.
I just need Brazil in an hour and 20 minutes.
That's right. We need Brazil to come through. We need that pick to hit. Kevin McCarthy on at 7 to tell you what to see this weekend at the box office. Don't forget, you can join the Junks and 106.7 The Fan for our summer dress party. Saturday, July 14th is the date, starting at 4 p.m. It's brought to you by Corona. Corona is what summer wants. Enjoy and relax responsibly. Get all of your details at fandc.com/summer. Sorry, I can't stop laughing. I need A1 to come in here, but I need him to come here with his shirt on. I know that the
why is that?
I know that the edict that's been passed down is for him to come in shirtless, yeah. But he needs to come in and display his outfit today,
Eric,
because
I don't know if you've seen.
I saw the pants.
Hey, don't sit down.
Look,
right?
Stand up.
I am no fashion plate, clearly, but from watching the second season of Queer Eye straight through, mm-hmm. You know, you pick up some tips here and there as to, you know, how to dress, how not to dress. And AWOD today, I'm sorry, you're a poster boy for how not to dress. I don't understand.
Look at his leg. He's got that skin condition on his leg.
By the way, show him your socks and shoe combo.
Stand up. You don't
show
need
the camera.
Yeah, you don't need to sit
down.
Don't
sit down.
Okay. If you're going to wear a pair of shorts with a print on them, and yours has, I believe, ice cream cones and popsicles on them, you can't wear a plaid wackadoo shirt on top of it. There's too much going on. It's too busy.
Yeah, he has too much pattern going on.
I mean, those are the worst shorts I've ever seen. You're wearing shorts with ice cream cones
on. I think if he wears those shorts with like a plain polo shirt.
Yeah, that's fine.
A plain button-down shirt.
Yeah, would you ever wear those? Would you ever wear shorts with ice cream cones on?
Did you wear that out last night?
No.
Oh.
But this is like the hot trend is to have shorts with like little designs on them.
Okay,
what
that's
fine. What do you have to do with the hot trend?
Hot trend for who? Millennials?
They're a broke loser. Yeah, you know where I got this outfit? This is a Ross for Less outfit.
Ross is silly.
Kind of looks
okay. Oh, yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
But he was.
Yeah. He was sized for you guys. He wanted to be on this show.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Whatever. Don't butter us up.
did he really say
no,
that?
No, 100%. He said that, yeah.
Oh, well, he can call in whenever he wants.
Oh.
Yeah.
He wants to get a championship first.
Right.
Wait, what are you doing, you idiot? You said he doesn't want it on air, and then all of a sudden you continue to talk about it.
You just shut up.
We just have that way of drawing information
He's
out of people.
Dumb.
Yeah. Well, he maybe saw him before the game or something. Hey.
So what time did you go to bed last night?
At 12, well, like 1:15.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
you looked terrible when I saw you this morning.
Were you boozing hard last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you going hard on a Thursday night?
I was networking, so I had to.
Networking. What do you mean you were networking?
I mean,
you're
my
at a bar. Just
okay,
boozing.
Outside of the person we're not supposed to talk about, what sort of connections and networking
where I was
did you
I
do?
Working? So, you know, the guy who sponsors my podcast, the owner of Bar Bow, was there, and I was meeting with this guy who, like, is a lobbyist, and then there was an activist there. We were in a suite, and everyone was a big silly wearing suits, and I was
and you
dumb.
Were the dummy.
Was you.
I was
you
wearing my
dummy.
Pineapple t-shirt from yesterday.
Oh, you went to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why is that networking for you? Were you going to be a lobbyist?
No, but I'm going to get them on my podcast.
And we know you're not going to be an
activist. You're going to put a lobbyist on your podcast?
That sounds like great radio.
Yeah, you want the worst podcast ever?
Well, he's a lobbyist who parties a lot, so he's got good stories. He was telling me he was on a yacht with like 15 girls last week. So,
right. What does a lobbyist do, Adam?
They definitely lobby for like political things.
It's gonna be a great interview.
It's not the worst answer.
That's gonna be a great interview, isn't it?
Seriously, your ambitions in life they're pretty low, aren't they? Like, the bar for you is just so low.
I want to get on 106.7.
You want to work in radio,
yeah.
And you just want to party,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
He likes hanging out at the bars.
Do you want to do anything like sort of good, like for society or
like do
you want to raise a family someday
with charities?
Yeah, do you want to just do anything that like do you have an impact on the world?
The impact I want to have on the world it has to do with media. I want to like. Form of a technology like an app that has radio, TV, and internet
you want to be
all
an
together.
App guy?
What?
I mean, I want to be a media mogul, but like take it to a new level.
Right.
What?
You know? What are your ideas?
Well, Instagram TV just came out yesterday, so I posted two stories on that.
Right. Can you explain? No, I heard about it.
You're supposed to come up with the technology.
Is it the same thing as like Facebook Live? What is Instagram
TV?
No.
Instagram TV is just like YouTube. Like it gives you, it's on Instagram, so, but you'll watch it like a vertical thing, but you can watch a 4-minute video.
So up to 4 minutes.
Right. So on the 106.7 Instagram today, I'm going to give it a try and upload a segment of the Junkies on there.
Right.
So that if you missed the show and you're just on Instagram, you can see it and then click it and say, oh, this isn't just a 30-second video. I can get a whole segment.
Mm. Was there any talent at the Salt Line last night?
So much talent.
Salt Line's kind of silly.
Is that the one that Zimmerman owns?
Yes, Richie. I ate there like 2 weeks ago. Selling.
It smells like talent, too, because there's so much fish everywhere.
Smells
that's
like
talent. Worst line ever.
It smells like fish in
Can
there.
Can you stop? Yeah.
And that smells like talent.
That's a terrible smell.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so upset that I brought you in here.
Unless
now.
You have a piece of salmon in front of you, that's a terrible smell. So stupid.
I got sized.
Hey, are you going out again tonight?
Yeah,
of course
sure.
he is.
I'll be all over Clarence.
How much money do you have?
Zippy.
I have like $600 right now.
To your name.
Well, you just got paid?
Wouldn't you be scared? That's like what these poor immigrants that we're hearing about, they come over to this country, they have like $600, you know, and that's it. You've been here working. You're a professional, a college graduate.
Right.
Yeah, but my resume, though, is a lot of money kind of stacked up of jobs that I've done.
What?
So, like, instead of taking a full-time job.
You've earned money, right. But you've blown it.
Right, but, like, instead of graduating and, like, getting a job at Booz Allen, I've been slaving away trying to work up the food chain at 106.7.
Wait a second. You think you can get a job at like Booz Allen?
I mean, they hired all my dunk friends. I have like 10 friends that work at Booz Allen.
Yeah, but they're all smarter than you.
The key is the word booze.
Booze, yeah.
Right.
I think he does have a little bit more money than usual because he's been a barnacle to this Bar Bow guy.
Is that what it is?
Barnacle, yeah.
Why, the Bar Bow guy is like giving him money?
No, he gives him free drinks and
he doesn't
food
have,
every single night.
Yeah, he doesn't have to spend, you know, $100 on the weekend.
Is that your deal?
Well, I mean,
he's taking care of you.
I'm like the ambassador of Bar Bow, so when I go there, they take care of me.
So you're getting lurch treatment over at Bar Bow.
Yeah.
He's feels good, doesn't it?
Right. I had a listener come up and call me the King of Clarendon.
King of Clarendon?
I said, no, I'm the Clown of Clarendon.
He's getting the hooks at Bar Bow, and I'm paying full freight at 99.9% of the spots that I frequent. Oh, this is enraging me.
Are you
me.
Tipping well, at least?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's why the whole thing with Valdez went to Don Tito and got to kiss the cup.
Right.
It drove me nuts because I'm out in Clarendon every weekend.
Right.
He picks one night to go out, and he's like partying with all the players.
He has connections. He's actually done real networking. And your networking is like drinking 15 beers, and you're face down in a suite somewhere.
Did you grasp? Did you holler at like anybody?
Any of the fish?
I was talking to a few girls.
Did you just punt and end up with a pig?
No.
You didn't end up with anything.
This one hot girl actually like pointed at me and told me to come over to her. And then when I came over there, I had like nothing to say.
Right.
Of course,
she said, "Your outfit sticks on ice. Get away from me."
What did she want to say to you? Why did she
burn
want you to come
burn
over
your
there?
Shorts?
She just invited me over to talk. I guess she thought I was cute. And then when I opened my mouth and I started talking, she got so uninterested.
Really?
Uninterested? Yeah.
Why? You could just see her interest fade.
Yeah, because she was with like four friends, and then immediately two of the friends walked away.
Oh.
Like sat down, and then we were talking, and then like 30 seconds later, she was like, Can you take a picture of me and my friend? And then
that was it.
She wanted.
She said, thank you.
She wanted you to take a picture.
No, because that wasn't the first thing she said. The first thing she said was, "What's your name?"
Well, she just wanted to be nice.
Hey Adam, nice. How much are you tipping when you go out to Bar Bow and you're getting the horns?
And what are you getting? You're getting.
I'm getting Jack and Cokes.
What about three or four?
No.
More.
About eight or nine.
Eight or nine.
Yeah. Right. I can throw back some Jack and Cokes.
It's basically $100 worth of drinks.
But then what else? Like nachos or something?
No.
Healthy food?
If I get food, it's during the day. Not when I'm out drinking. I liquid diet only.
Yeah. Right. So about $100 in Jack and Cokes?
Yeah, and then I usually give them a $20 bill.
Bare minimum.
It's a little hurting when they're all free.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you would tip if it was the bill.
If it was the bill.
Yeah. I mean,
you should probably double it.
He would give them more, but he probably spent $40 on his popsicle pants.
No, they're from Ross.
No, they were from
Ross.
$11.
Yeah.
He probably got it for like 50 cents.
Adam, stand up. I want Eric to see your chest and shoulders in that shirt.
Yeah, what do you mean? They're bad.
His bird chest. His chest is going inward.
Well, it's just because the belly. When the belly is bigger than the boobs, it's not good. It's just not a good look.
It's not a bad shirt, but if he would just fill out a little more.
It's a bad shirt on him.
Wouldn't look so bad.
Plus, you have like a hurting skin. Like, I don't like your skin tone.
My skin tone.
Yeah,
you're like the
fair.
Color.
You mean you're so fair?
Yeah.
I'm as white as they come.
Yeah. Not only do you have your skin condition sucks, you know, your skin tone
you know what
sucks.
He is? He's a very, very poor man's Ed Sheeran. Very poor. Like the skin, the hair. He's not quite as ginger as Ed Sheeran,
right,
but
with none of the talent.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Just imagine the brokest, stupidest. Talentless
and
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran would have walked in the salt line and walked out with about 100 girls.
Oh, he would have had
that. Ed Sheeran could probably pick soccer winners.
He doesn't probably have a soccer podcast.
So. Yeah, he probably doesn't have that.
He doesn't need one.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in, A-Rod.
Yep, no problem.
Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Next time, shirt off. But today, we needed to see it along with your ice cream shorts.
Can't believe you wore that outfit.
Good Lord.
Hey, real quick, I just want to give you a little update. We talked about Brazil. All right, so I got France and Brazil in a parlay.
Yep.
Right, I just want to give the listeners a little update on what I'm betting. And then I'm going to parlay the Brazil over 2.5 with Drab. Convinced me to take Nigeria over Iceland.
He did.
They're plus 170.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
I was leaning Iceland, but he tells me Nigeria is better.
Ooh, I might have to dabble. I might have to dabble a little bit more today.
That's my parlay.
All right, so we'll dive into the sports page a little bit later.
50 pays me 240.
But we'll talk. Wow. World Cup, we'll talk Nats, we'll talk NBA Draft, we'll talk Barry Trotz being the new coach of the Islanders. But next, Kevin McCarthy joins us to talk movies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.